Today is a special day where we honor our mothers, and the Lord just laid it upon my heart to take a break from 1 Peter, to take some time to honor you ladies, and honor this role that God has placed within the human race called mothers. Before I open in prayer, I want to give us a brief history of Mother's Day. I was curious. Because it's on the calendar. Well, where in the world did that come from? Like, where did it come from? Well, Mother's Day was as far as a North American celebration of Mother's Day, it really began back in the 1870s, around the times of the Civil War. And a lady wanted to honor mothers in the times of that great, great tension of our country. And she sought to get large groups of women together, and they would observe Mother's Day as an observance for let's have peace within our country. Those groups kind of dwindled as the main organizer passed away, and then come the early 1900s, Anna Reeves Jarvis began petitioning that Mother's Day become a national celebration. And the first celebration of Mother's Day happened in May 10th of 1908. And from there, West Virginia was the first state to officially recognize Mother's Day. And finally, in 1914, it became a national observance, the second Monday in May. Mother's Day is a time where we honor, mothers in that role. And I believe that God has a lot to say about this role of mother. So let's pray together, and then what we're going to do is go to the scriptures this morning. Dear God, I am thankful so much for mothers, and I'm grateful, Lord, for the mother that you've placed into my life. And God, I ask that you would honor her today, and I thank you that my siblings can be with her, and that she can be honored, and that she can honor my grandmother. I thank you, Lord, for the rich legacy that she has left behind to us as children. And God, I thank you for the mothers that are here. And I thank you, Lord, for the roles that they have played in the lives of many people. And God, today, as we look at your scriptures and look at some ladies that you have honored, God, I ask that you would speak clearly to us and show us how you have honored mothers, and how you desire to honor mothers today. And we pray these things in your precious name. Amen. Before we go on, I want to kind of put this day into perspective for us, because I, being a man, have no experience being a mother. And a lot of us here have no experience being a mother. Yes, we've had interaction with our mothers, or with mothers, but a lot of times we don't fully understand or don't have the same perspective that maybe a mother would. I came across these statements, and I thought these were very good to give us a perspective this morning. For some, motherhood is an accident and not always a welcome one. For some, biological motherhood is not possible. For some, mothers weren't all that nice. For some, motherhood under the very best of circumstances is still less than a bed of roses in a primrose path. For some, motherhood is a lonely path traveled in weariness. And then finally, for some, motherhood is a dream come true. I don't know where you are at today, ladies, and some of you may fit in one of those areas, or maybe some or not all of them at some point in your life. But I share these to give us a perspective that motherhood is something that is celebrated in many, many hearts, and other hearts ache and are in pain. When we talk about motherhood, I believe that a big part of motherhood doesn't necessarily come as a result of the womb, but it comes from the heart. And today, what we are going to be doing today is we're going to be looking at three ladies, three women in the Scriptures. And I would like us to seek to discover how God has honored these ladies as mothers. What I'd like us to do is turn into the beginning part of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 3. We're going to begin here with the very, very first woman, Eve. And if you want to write in your notes Eve, you can put Eve. She's called the mother of all the living. And from there, what we're going to do is we're going to go to Sarah. And we're going to see that Sarah is the mother of nations. And then from Sarah, we're going to go to Mary. And we'll see that Mary is the mother of a Savior. And what I believe you will see and discover along with me today is the great value that God places on this role of mothers. Eve. Well, in the beginning, we know that God created what? Male and female. Yes. And in the midst of that, God had made a very clear distinction between genders, and He set the female apart as a woman. And as you remember, in the garden, Adam and Eve, what happened? They sinned. They rebelled against the Holy God. And I believe this probably happened before they had any children. In fact, I know it happened. It happened before they had any children. And so you have Adam and Eve. They knew what a perfect world was like, but then they sinned and were kicked out of a garden, and now they are left with the curse and God's commands. And God's command was this: be fruitful and multiply and exercise dominion over this earth. Well, if you think about Eve in this situation, God's command is, I need to be fruitful and multiply. Well, this, as we know, requires the oneness of a man and a woman. And this oneness brought about motherhood. It brought about her children. If you look in Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, what we see there is, and Adam called his wife's name Eve. Why did he do that? Because she was the mother of all living. Eve is significant as we look at this idea of motherhood because of her role in that she was the original mother. And as I thought about this situation and that she is now kicked out of the garden and left with the curse of the pain of childbearing, but yet God has left the command of being fruitful and multiplying, I am reminded also of something else God made very clear to this lady. If you look back a few verses in chapter 3, you will see something very powerful that was spoken in the presence of Eve. Genesis chapter 3 includes what happens to them as a result of it, when they sinned, and then as a result of their sin, and it tells us the curses that God gives to the serpent, to the woman, and to the man. I want you to observe verse 15. Verse 15, God is speaking to the serpent here, but it's, I believe, in the presence of the woman. And he says this, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and whose seed? Her seed. It shall bruise thy head. That is, her seed shall bruise thy head, serpent, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Do not ever miss the profoundness of these words. For in the very beginning, God has already introduced there's hope for mankind. Eve, Adam, through your seed, through your children, I will bring Satan to his destruction. I will, through your seed, bring you redemption. Now, what a challenging thought now before Eve. As her and Adam contemplate God's commands of being fruitful and multiply, they have heard the curses placed upon them, but they have heard these words of hope. Even as ambiguous as they might seem, these words require children. These words require that Adam and Eve obey God's commands. And the beauty of this is that what we see here is, I believe, Eve sees the circumstances that she's in view of what God has promised her. God's promised to use her seed to bring redemption. Eve sees her situation, sees the sin that has come upon them, and quite frankly, is probably scared to death of child rearing, the main part of her curse. But yet what we see here is Eve's obedience to the Lord, as she views the circumstances around her, she sees them in the light of what God has promised her. And what I see here is some powerful, powerful thoughts as we think about what takes place. Because Adam and Eve, their first son's name was Cain. That word, that name means possession. When Eve gave birth to her firstborn son, she says in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, look there, what she says. She says, I have gotten a man from the Lord. I have gotten a man from the Lord. And I don't know if you realize, but I believe that she all along had the hope of what God's promises had told her, that your seed will bruise his head. And God brings her a man, Cain. And she says, what does she say? I have gotten a man from the Lord. Well, we know her next son, Abel. Interestingly enough, his name means a breath, or just a vapor. And we know what takes place, don't we? What we see is the results of the sin curse being passed right down through to Cain and Abel. And we know that Cain murders Abel. His life is what? Just a short time. And then sometime later, we see they have a third son. Down in chapter 4 and verse 25, we see, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, look at what she says, for God hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. So as we think about ways that God has honored mothers, what we see here is God has placed incredible honor, an incredible role into his creation. That is, that women be mothers. This is an important part of God's overall design and plan for all of mankind and all of creation. And we see that Eve gives birth to Cain and Abel, and Cain murders Abel, and Cain is cursed and sent away. And God gives her yet another son, and Seth. And Seth begins the righteous line of which we get Noah. Seth, his name means compensation. And God has brought her yet another son. God has placed great value upon Eve because she is the mother of all the living. Yeah, she was a sinner. She sinned right along with her husband. She was cursed. She was plunged headlong into a sin-cursed world. She was placed in a world full of fears and full of struggles. But we see she believed God's promises. She saw the circumstances, but she obeyed God in view of His promises. Let's take a look at Sarah now. A Sarah, the mother of all the nations. And let's turn to Genesis chapter 17 and notice these two ladies are found in the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. I believe these two ladies are probably separated by over 2,000 years. But what we have here is Sarah yet again playing a very crucial role in God's plan. Let me just review for you that Adam has been called by God to go from his home country and reside in a place that God has for him in Canaan. And Adam obeys, and he takes Sarah with him, and God makes a covenant with Abraham that you will have many descendants as the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. And I will give you land and seed and blessing. And Abraham and Sarah look for these things to be fulfilled. And you know what takes place. Sarah is barren. An incredible, quote-unquote, curse to a woman. Especially in a culture such as these, where to begot a man-child, to have a son, is an incredible blessing to a woman's husband. For what does that mean? It means that his name is carried on. And Sarah is unable to bear a child. She bears this heartache for years, and her and Abram, they try their own ways. Remember that? Hagar. They try to do that thing where Abraham goes into Hagar and she gives birth to Ishmael. And God, is he enough? Will he work? No, God's plan was for Abraham and Sarah. So what I picture is just about the time that they are totally giving up hope, God comes to them. And look at chapter 17, verse 15. What's God say here? He says, "And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of" who? "Of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." And then Abram fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" In verse 18, "And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." Do we see the profound honor that God is placing upon this woman, Sarah? This is God's plan and this is God's way of doing things, and he has chosen to do it through these women. Incredible the way God designs these things. Things that us as humans, we couldn't put all this together ourselves. But this is all God's plan. God chose to create a male and a female, Adam and Eve, and he chose that the woman would bring forth child and be the mother of all the living. God chose that his chosen people would come from Abraham and Sarah, a barren woman, 90 years old. And God chose her to have a son. Look at Genesis chapter 18, just one chapter over, verse 9. And they said unto him, this is when the angel of the Lord comes and visits Abraham, and they're sitting there, and the angel of the Lord says to Abraham, verse 9, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, she's in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, what did Sarah do? She laughed. She laughed within herself, saying, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And then the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but you did laugh. Is anything too hard for the Lord? God chose in his infinite wisdom, this would be his plan. And all of these things, what do? They point to a work of God. They point to a work of God. Eve, bearing forth children, pointing to the work of God, not only then, but what would happen in the future. Sarah, she's barren, 90 years old. She's past the time of childbirth. And what takes place is God gives her a son. This is the work of God. You see, Sarah, she's aware of God's plan. She's aware of God's covenant. She knows what God has said to Abraham. But things aren't adding up in her mind. She's getting older and older and older, and nothing is happening. Ishmael doesn't work. God, what is going on? I'm sure she had times of doubting. I'm sure she's had times of discouragement, times of anger. But God comes and makes a declaration to her, in a year you're going to have a son. We see her heart because she laughs. But what we see then, in Genesis chapter 21, folks, look at this. Verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, and as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And listen to what Sarah said. God hath made me laugh, so that all who hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given a child to suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. I think it's significant what these mothers are saying. These mothers, as they are speaking these words, as God has blessed them and done a mighty work of God in their lives, what do these ladies say? They say that God hath granted me great joy. Who would have ever thought that I, a barren woman of 90 years old, will be able to give a child to my husband, to nurse my own? Sarah. She's a godly mother who realizes the power of God despite her weaknesses. We have Eve, a godly mother who she views her circumstances in light of God's promises. And then we have Sarah, the mother of God's chosen people. She realizes the power of God despite her weaknesses. And ladies, there are times of weaknesses, times of incredible discouragement, and times that we just don't see any hope. I'm sure those of you that may be stricken with this wonderful opportunity of, well, trusting God. You know, that's not easy. But I trust we can be encouraged by the way God showed His mighty power in Sarah's life despite her weaknesses. And I want to move finally to the mother of our Savior, Mary. Mary in Luke chapter 1. And we are very familiar with this story because, why, it's the Christmas story. And what we see here is the angel Gabriel coming to visit Mary. Who is Mary? She's just a young, single lady, probably in her early to mid-teens. She's betrothed to be married to Joseph, a much older man, typically in that culture. They have not yet been together, consummated the marriage, but yet they are considered to be married in that culture. They are together, but yet not living together. She is a virgin, a very key thing in that culture as far as marriage is concerned. If you violated and had intercourse outside of the marriage bonds, you would be stoned. And Mary, a pure young lady, is approached by the angel Gabriel and said, "You are going to have a son." Look at this, Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." That tells us a little bit about her character. And what we see next is, "When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus." What? What are you saying? I am highly favored. I am blessed. I am a pure virgin. And now you come and tell me that I am going to conceive. I have never known a man. We see Mary here in quite a scary situation for a young lady. And he, verse 32, the angel continues, "And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." And Mary said unto the angel, "How shall this be, since I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." In verse 36, "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she's also conceived in her old age, and is in the sixth month, and who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." And then Mary says, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. God honors mothers. And God has honored these ladies, and here we see specifically the mother of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Just a young lady, a virgin, excited and ready to get married to Joseph, and the angel comes to her and announces to her that she is the chosen one to bring forth the Savior of the world. Do you see how crucial women are in God's plan? If you trace these things down through history, you see that Eve is the mother of all the living. And despite the circumstances that were surrounding her, she believed in God's promises, and God used her to give birth to a righteous race that brought us to Noah. And then what do you see? Is you see Sarah, a barren woman, but yet chosen by God, that from her seed, from her children, from her child Isaac, would come many nations that would be blessed by God. God's chosen people. And from there, from Abraham, brings us to Mary. A girl chosen by God that she should bear the Savior of the world, which brings us to the cross, for where our Savior, Jesus Christ, died so that you and I might have life. And what we have seen is it comes full circle. As Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, and the serpent's head is bruised. As God, through His Son, declares victory over sin and over death. God honors mothers and motherhood. And I hope you see the significance that is played out in the Scriptures in this role. For God chose to work in these ladies' lives. Incredible miracles you see there. And these ladies chose to be obedient and walk in God's ways. Mary, she is a godly mother who submits herself to God's plan despite all of her fears. So we see these mothers, that they're honored by God. And I want us to make this distinction. They are, yes, honored for the children that they bore, but they are honored more so for their, I believe, their obedience and trust in God. And listen, mothers, fathers, children, this should be our prayer, that our mothers, our grandmothers, yes, that they will be blessed in raising their children, but also that they would be honored by God for their trust in Him in this most significant role of interacting with little ones. Today, ladies, my prayer is that you go from this place realizing the incredible value that you have in the sight of God simply by you being you, by being a woman created by God. Today, families, my prayer is that you go from this place realizing that God has given you a woman in your life who God desires to use as a part of His ultimate plan. My prayer is that all of us go from this place praising God for the role of mothers in His divine plan throughout all of history. For today, mothers, yes, are still honored by God. They still have great value, for they are continuing to obey God and trust in Him as they go through this process of raising children. And may we pray May we pray that God would grant them strength and He would encourage them in this role which He esteems with great honor. It is for this purpose that I felt convicted by the Lord to share with you a family prayer packet, which I will give you at the door. This family prayer packet includes how do I pray for my wife? And that is for you husbands. Then there's another card that says how do I pray for my husband? And that is for you wives. And then there's another one that says how do I pray for my children or grandchildren? And that is for both of you. And I believe we need to develop a culture of prayer in our families. And this guide has been incredibly helpful to me in my own home as I seek to pray for my wife and for my children. And I would desire to pass these truths along to you. This evening, what we're going to do in our evening service is going to look at how we can pray for our wives. And we're going to look at some of the scriptures that are noted on this card. I trust that you will return and be encouraged this evening as we go through that. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. And God, I stand up here knowing that that my words don't all the time make sense and that I do not always say the right things. But I stand here knowing that your word of God is right and it is powerful. And God, I stand here believing that your word is truth and that what has come forth is what you have desired us to be challenged with today. God, it's Mother's Day. We honor these ladies. But God, before we honor these ladies, we honor you. We lift your name high because we see throughout your plan the incredible honor you've placed upon women and mothers. And we give you praise. This is all your design. It's all your plan. And God, may we go from this place glorifying you for all that you have done. And then God, in light of what you have done, may we honor our mothers. I want to close, as you have your eyes closed, I want to remind you that Mary gave birth to the Savior of the world. That was Jesus Christ. And the significance of Jesus Christ in your life is profound. Do you know who He is? What is the Savior of the world? What does that mean? The scriptures tell us that we have all sinned. And just like each one of these ladies, Eve, Sarah, and Mary, they were all sinners before God. They had offended Him. But yet they chose to trust in Him and believe in His Word. And His Word tells us that Jesus is God's Son who has come so that we may be saved, that we may have eternal life. We can believe in Jesus Christ that He died on the cross, was buried, and rose again on that third day. In that act, He paid the penalty for our sin so that we can have eternal life. That is the powerful significance of the birth of the Savior. And praise the Lord for God's divine work and plan. I don't want you to leave here this day without being challenged with these truths. Who is Jesus to you? Please talk to me on your way out. If you've got questions about this. And I pray these things in your name. Amen.